and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Are you as frustrated with your golf game as you are with the tea party? Visit KathyMcPhersonGolf.com for a great approach to a better game. That's KathyMcPhersonGolf.com. It's Kathy with a C.
Yes.
You can get one of them there, sponsorships.
Yes, just go to StephanieMiller.com, yes. And there's a sponsorship page banner right there front and center. Click on that, pays your $100, and you sponsor an hour.
Yeah, listen to me. Stephanie Miller International Incorporated is getting entirely too complicated for me. I'm the tour director now from Almost Famous, that movie.
Yes.
Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. I don't know what's happened, Chris. It has exploded.
It has.
Yes. Well, as you know, this weekend, perfect for Easter weekend, we're going to be in...
Madison, Wisconsin, where we expect those people to be communing with Satan up there in the Madison, Wisconsin.
Exactly. That's where you go for Easter.
Sure.
All right. Anyway, there are only a few tickets left for the late show, so
yes.
You have to go to... We are apparently the fastest-selling show in the history of the Barrymore. God love you, Madison. I'm going to touch each and every one of you inappropriately when I get there Saturday.
Sweet.
Yeah. Only a few tickets left. BarrymoreLive.com for the late show on Saturday. And then in the meantime, it's Syracuse. We went on sale for Syracuse. Thank God Shane was here to make us free promos.
Warning, the Department of Liberal Comedy has just issued a statement raising the laugh alert level for Syracuse, New York to code orange.
John Boehner, not a color that appears in the natural world.
In an effort to protect the public from the side effects of John Boehner's curious orange hue.
You mean I'm going to stay this color?
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show has been dispatched to Syracuse, New York. Home of the real Orange Men.
When are we going to stand up and take them on?
On Saturday, May 14th, at the On Center Krause Heinz Theater. Join Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and Stephanie Miller for an evening of perfect progressive brilliance and non-stop laughter.
That's at the top of our list.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at the On Center Krause Heinz Theater in Syracuse. May 14th. It's the only antidote to John Boehner's orange. For the orange.
All right. Hey. Bring your own frack water.
Yes.
All right. Oh, no. Kids.
What?
Yeah, I ran into a friend. I'm literally on the phone with the tour guy, and I'm like, all right, what are the early numbers from Syracuse? She's like, what has happened to you? I'm like, I don't know. I'm the rock tour guy now.
You are.
Anyway, and then Minneapolis, going on sale tomorrow at noon. We'll put a promo for that later for God's sake.
Shane will put a promo together for that, too.
I believe June 14th we will be in Minneapolis. We're very, very excited.
Yes.
All right, so that goes on sale tomorrow. Thank you, everybody. Whew, I better get that right in something on a Chardonnay soaked cocktail napkin.
Oof.
All right. I heard the most hilarious story, by the way, speaking of Easter weekend.
What?
One of my good friends said I was asking what she's doing for Easter, and it's very sad for her. It's a very traumatic holiday because every year, I guess, starting with 1 year, her father would get her a bunny because she's a big animal lover.
Mm-hmm.
But just for, he would just like rent it and then he would take it away the day after Easter. So she'd be playing with the bunny all day and then she would spend the next day screaming and crying and looking for the bunny. And then he did it again the next year.
My parents did something similar. They got us chicks, you know, little baby chicks.
And I thought you meant hookers.
No. They got us little baby chicks, and you know, we had fun with them that day on Easter, playing around with them, and the next day they were gone. I have no idea what happened to them to this day.
That is horrible. Horrible for those of us that are animal lovers.
Yeah.
Let that be an Easter lesson to you, parents. All right, so we have a lot to get to today.
Yes.
We have Governor Deval Patrick coming up. We have a big, big show. Oh, and Eric Bollard on vacation. We're thrilled and delighted to welcome Jess Levin from Media Matters for America in his absence. Hey, Jess, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for, you know, Eric Bollard, big shoes, as you know.
I know. I'm a little nervous, but
I'm sorry.
I'll do my best.
It's all right. We don't have a jingle for you. We apologize, but
that's
we won't.
Quite all right.
We'll just, a little magic wand will bring
Ooh.
You in. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, Jess. All right. Dana Perino, oh, look at her. She's still around on the Fox News
Sunday.
Yeah, they
keep inviting her back.
Jess, you probably, if you heard anything about the president's budget speech, crazy was one of the big words. Crazy and offensive.
There is another person in this presidential race saying offensive, crazy things. And that is President Obama, who called the Republicans un-American this week in a speech in which he invited people. Now, you can do that if you want to make it a hyper-partisan thing, but the poll you haven't shown yet is that 70% of the American people, according to Gallup, think the country's on the wrong track. So I think if I were President Obama's political team, I would think, wow, we should have had a better week last week than we did. Rising gas prices will continue to dog them, and maybe somebody will emerge out of this Republican field that will be able to catch people's attention and go the distance.
Wow, it's all the same. You see that, Jess?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny to hear Dana Perino and a number of other politicians and pundits call the president partisan when, you know, they're the same ones that have called him a racist, a Marxist, and a socialist for the past 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. I think, is she referring to Donald Trump? Like, oh, it's crazy and offensive. That's more the president's budget speech. I mean, the thing is, on each and every poll, Jess, it shows the American people largely agree with the president, obviously, on the that we should pay down the deficit by having the rich pay their fair share.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something everyone can get behind, and the polls seem to show that.
Yep. All right. Sean Hannity on Trump.
Public policy polling. Look at this. Trump up 26%.
Mm.
17 Huckabee, 15 Romney, 11 Gingrich. I don't know if he's going to get it. It doesn't matter. There's a reason for his popularity, though, and I think there's a lesson here for Republican candidates. Fight. Take on controversial issues. Don't back down and battle.
Yes, go birtherism. I think that's the message, don't you, Jess?
Yeah.
Embrace
that seems to be Sean Hannity's message. A controversial issue, that's what birtherism is. That's interesting. I think Trump was just on, he's making the rounds on TV again this morning, and he called the birther stuff a headline grabber, which I think really summarizes what he's trying to do here.
Exactly. That's really telling.
Yeah. No, I mean, doubling down on the birther, it's incredible. I mean, I was looking at, I think it's PolitiFact, literally like pants on fire. Pretty much everything he said has been completely debunked. I mean, and it really is unbelievable. You just think he's just going to keep going. He's just going to keep doubling
we're
down.
Still talking about this.
Right.
I know.
Now, does it serve to split the GOP, do you think, Jess?
I think so. I mean, you have Karl Rove is like on Fox all the time saying stop talking about this, because I think he knows that maybe, you know, Trump is up in the polls now and maybe, you know, it can go a long way as far as winning a primary, but it's not going to win you a general election.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope he keeps talking about what a great businessman he is so that we can really, we can further delve into his four bankruptcies.
Yes.
All right, Lou Dobbs.
I think he's great for the Republican Party.
Trump.
There are a bunch of folks who want to be so overwhelmingly earnest about all of this. He's bringing life. He's bringing vitality to a lineup of folks who ultimately want to run for that nomination in the Republican Party. I see that as nothing but good.
Yes, he's bringing pep. And
that's
life.
The endorsement you want, Lou Dobbs.
Right.
Exactly. All right, Mike Huckabee and Brian Kilmeade on the radio show.
Donald Trump is a brand all to himself. He's unique, and he's got an incredible platform. He's saying very bold things, and people like to hear that.
And do you like or not that he likes you?
I love it that he likes me. I like him. We have a good thing going.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Right.
Oh, my God. This is, you know, Jess, this is what I've been talking about, this meme that anybody on the right that says something really that is just an awful idea, that's the storyline. It's bold and courageous.
Right.
Paul Ryan, Chris Christie. Oh, it's so refreshing. It's like, meanwhile.
Taking on a controversial issue.
Yes.
Go Donald Trump.
Right. Yes, Donald Berther saying crazy that's been debunked. Oh, that's so refreshing and bold. It's like,
he's really lining up the endorsements.
Yeah, exactly.
On Fox
News,
Now, wasn't it Ann Coulter that was saying that it's only the left-wing mainstream media that's pushing the whole birther thing?
Oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
that one too.
Right. Meanwhile, everything that we've just played is from conservative right-wing media.
Yeah.
What is she talking about?
It really seems to be Donald Trump is the one pushing the birther issue more than anyone else.
Right.
Yeah, and then Sarah Palin hopped on his crazy train.
That's right.
I'm glad he's getting in there and digging up there, rolling up his sleeves and getting into that issue there.
It's brave, very brave.
Dear God. Did you hear she went to Madison, Wisconsin this past weekend and tried to tell the people there that Governor Walker's just trying to help you? He's trying to save your jobs.
I didn't get to watch her speech yet, but I did read that little part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's rich. All right, Laura Ingraham in for O'Reilly.
This from a man obsessed with celebrity and with the redistribution
Obama.
Of wealth. Look, it's irresponsible, and it's frankly a little bit embarrassing for our president to be conducting himself as if it were the last weeks of a presidential campaign. The country, we now know, is in serious trouble. And what we've heard from this president over the past 3 days is juvenile. The public is fed up.
I'm sorry, Obama is obsessed with celebrity.
Yes.
Right, when you first played that clip, I thought we were talking about Donald Trump.
That's
still.
What I assumed, too. That's what I just did, Jess. I looked back down at the soundbite list. Oh, the president is. Oh, I see. So he's the one that produces Celebrity Apprentice, then. I'm sorry. I must have gotten the wrong show prep. All right. Brent Bozell on Fox Business.
There's such a love fest between so many of these reporters and the single most radical left-wing president in the history of the United States of America. They love him.
You know, whenever they say that in right-wing world, Jess, I'm always like, if only.
Yeah.
If only he was as socialist as they say.
That Brent Bozell, he's a great media critic.
Oh, yeah.
we've gotten in his crosshairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Jess, thanks so much for stepping into the fray with us while Eric's on vacation. We hope to see you again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. There she goes, Jess Levin from Media Matters for America.
Hooray.
All right. What's more entertaining than the racist emails that the Republicans tend to send out from time to time about the president? Well, we'll tell you what. It's their explanation for why it's not racist, and you must be even racist for thinking it would be racist to superimpose the president's face on a chimp. What? We'll tell you about an Orange County Republican email. Oh, and Sharon Angle sings.
Oh, yes.
All that coming up on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. The Repundit coming up next. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Elizabeth in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Hello, girlfriend.
I am just calling because I just get sick of these Republican nut people talking about the president as so, you know, left, and they are completely ridiculously right. And I was thinking, you know, Sarah Palin is, and Scott Walker and everyone, is kind of like leading us back to the times of Marie Antoinette, like, let them eat cake. You know, it's just these people are so, that everyone is so impoverished, and it's just making the country so split. It's disgusting. How come people can't see this?
Well, you know, Elizabeth, I mean, it's interesting, this vote. They just, when was it, Chris, Thursday? I mean, literally, the Paul Ryan budget, Elizabeth, I mean, it ends Medicare as we know it. It gives more tax. I mean, here we are on, you know, when is it? We just had tax day. The headline I'm looking, super rich see federal taxes drop dramatically. I mean, and they're proposing to give even more tax breaks to the very rich and end Medicare as we know it. I mean, it just...
I mean, why don't we just come and everyone just come and live in Versailles? It's just, like, unbelievably ridiculous.
Oh, good. Good wine. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth. Yeah, I'm just saying, in France.
By the way, today is tax day. You said tax day was...
you always have the 15th in your head, you're right, because of the... Right.
There was a holiday in D.C. on Friday. So,
indeed.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, heavens, looky here. Did you... Once again, the explanation always funnier than the actual racist email that the Republican sends. There have been quite a few of these.
Yes.
And, you know, as you know, apparently we're all just oversensitive. And politically correct, and I don't know.
Whatever.
So if you see any rendering of the president or the first lady is in any kind of monkey, apparently you're the racist for thinking that that might in some way be racist.
I see.
Uh-huh. Okay. This one out here in Orange. I first saw this in the LA Times over the weekend. I was thinking, oh, boy. It's this one you have to see the visual. It's looks like a, you know, male and a female. They're in clothes.
Yeah.
The chimpanzee is a male and a female, and then holding a little baby chimpanzee with President Obama's face superimposed on it.
Yeah.
The baby chimpanzee.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what passes for reality. So you'll see the difference at the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. That's
real comedy.
A different kind of comedy than Republicans are used to. Okay. So, Marilyn Davenport is her name, Orange County Republican, coming under fire for sending other Republican officials. See, it's just us, just all of us here. See, when people think they're just amongst us friends. Okay. An email depicting President Obama's and chimpanzee in the arms of chimpanzee parents. It says, "Now you know why. No birth certificate." She is, of course, sticking to her guns, saying once again, blaming the media. The media. The lamestream media for making such a fuss. Just stop making such a fuss. Among the people, by the way, previously in Orange County Republican politics, she has defended was an official who sent an email with an illustration of the White House covered in watermelons. And if you think that's racist, you're also racist. Because she, Davenport said she considered the email a joke and was confused as to why the media had blown the issue
out of proportion.
Oh, my God.
Oh, she was, I just love, it's when you delve further into the details. It's the subsequent paragraphs in which the comedy are actually found.
Sure.
Reached at her home in Fullerton on Saturday, Davenport declined to comment. Or perhaps they couldn't hear her through the hood.
We're in the middle of a meeting. Can somebody hurry up and light that cross? I'm sorry?
In an email to Central Committee colleagues, however, she described the controversy as much ado about nothing, vowed she would not resign. She said, and I quote from Marilyn Davenport, I'm sorry. Oh, this is, go ahead, play the apology music that we play. I am sorry if my email offended anybody. See how that is? It's just the passive, like, I'm sorry if you're so oversensitive.
Sensitive that you think it's
racist.
Yeah,
think somehow. That's inappropriate to put the president's face on a chip. Okay, I'm sorry if my email offended anybody.
That's not an apology.
I simply found it amusing. Regarding the character of Obama and all the questions surrounding his origin of birth, in no way did I even consider the fact he's half black when I sent out the email.
Right!
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Racist. Liquid.
Oh, you're a liar. You're just a liar. You always were.
In fact, she doubles down. The thought never entered my mind until one or two other people tried to make this about race. We all know a double standard applies regarding this president. I received plenty of emails about George Bush, but I didn't particularly like it. There was no cry in the media about them. Here we go again. Because people compared President Bush to a chimp because he wasn't black. It's not the same thing. And also, he looks just like a chimp. President Bush, check it. Is BushOrChimp.com still up?
It might be.
It's eerie. All right. And I have to talk about the guy that defended her. The other Republican.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, the LA Times story goes three levels
deep. A layer cake.
Oh, it's awesome. That and the Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mom says you'd make a great Florida whore. What does that mean?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Okay, I have to just...
Oh, my
God. We have to just finish up this Orange County Republican, who it's just the latest in a long line of racist emails that was sent out about the president. And then the explanation of, oh, and she did actually, there almost is a template now for how you respond. First of all, it's the media's fault.
Right.
They're sorry if anybody was offended
by
being oversensitive.
Right, that's not an apology.
And also, she said it. She said...
Oh, I have many friends who are black.
Of course you do! They love being called chimps. They love it. I invite them for dinner. I'm like, chimpy, pass the gravy. They love it. Okay. She said, kind of here's the fun facts about it. What's her name? Marilyn Davenport.
Yes.
Not backing down?
Nope.
Wait, I was halfway through.
She's doubling down.
Oh, yeah. She did the whole thing. I know there's a double standard. The emails about George Bush, who is not black. And so you see, let's give her the high school educational.
Okay.
Marilyn... in this country, there's been a long history of very, very hurtful and racially derogatory references to black people as members of the, you know, monkey species.
Simian,
yes. And that's why it is particularly racist and hurtful to black people. Mm-hmm. So you see, Marilyn, it's not the same thing when you say it about George Bush. And by the way, George Bush is a white guy who looks exactly like a chimp. Okay. Tim Whitaker. And there's a racist that defends the original racist by saying, she's not a racist and you're a crazy racist if you think so. Tim Whitaker, another long-serving committee member, came to Davenport's defense, describing her as a polite, gentle grandmother. Oh, heavens.
Hmm.
Let's see. He said Davenport sent him the Obama email last week, but it did not offend him because he regarded it as a lighthearted stab over the birther question. Oh, my goodness. It's those kind of wacky, lighthearted jabs that polite, gentle grandmothers send all the time.
No, polite, gentle grandmothers cannot possibly be racist now, can they?
I'm telling you, I've said this. Is the political dialogue changed, gotten worse? I think so. Because there is this level, I know it was bad when Clinton was in office, it's just that there wasn't this layer of out-and-out racism that they just deny. I've noticed it, I mean, just in my own life. It's just the level of dialogue how do you have a discussion about that? All right, listen, speaking of rude,
the rude pundit. Pundit.
What did you just do?
Nothing. You're good morning, your rudeness.
Did you just hawk up a loogie?
I have some phlegm.
Wow.
Hi, Rudy.
I feel like you're like hailing me with spit. It's very good. Mm-hmm. Like a
these
fountain
damn,
as I enter.
These damn cameras. You used to be able to do private radio in privacy. Like,
you know,
taking a big... Go ahead.
The thing about that Marilyn Davenport thing is somebody needs to ask all the people this was sent to if they believe in evolution, since they obviously do, since monkeys gave birth to a human.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, seriously, isn't it that the explanation is always more entertaining than the actual scandal, the reason why they're not really racist, and you're really racist if you think so.
Yes, you're really racist because, there's no, as you pointed out, there's no history of that in this country of comparing black people to any kind of monkeys.
Yes.
It's your problem. It's your problem. They could have put him on anteaters, have an anteater family, but no,
exactly.
They chose monkeys.
Anteaters.
Yes, but somehow, oddly, it always seems to be monkeys.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, dear. Yeah, well, your rudeness. Let's talk about, you have a great post about the president's speech. You say, first off, let's give credit where credit is due. Inviting Representative Paul Ryan and other Republicans to sit in the front row during his big-ass deficit address was just a damn hilarious move by President Barack Obama. Think about it. Ryan and his various Medicare gutting bags of douche got their BBMs to be there and probably took their seats smuggling and waiting to see how much Obama would give in to the radical Ryan budget. Instead, they get the president telling them what their budget paints a vision of our future that's deeply pessimistic, a vision that says if our roads crumble and our bridges collapse, we can't afford to fix them. If there are bright young Americans who have the drive and the will but not the money to go to college, we can't afford to send them. In other words, you suck, and I'll tell you that to your faces, not behind your backs. And they had to sit there and take it. Now that's comedy.
It was like watching a movie whenever they cut away to Ryan or any of the other Republicans to just see their obviously simmering responses like, oh, we totally got played on this one.
Yeah. I love the way you say, by the way, we're hearing Republicans complain about the partisan tone of the speech is like watching a group of cobras complain the local mongoose bites them too hard. Seriously, guys, you're cobras. Suck it up. It's true. It's only when the president puts out his vision, then it's partisan. Nothing about what they say is ever partisan.
And it's not even the stuff that the crazy commentators say. It's the things like the way they title their bills. They titled their bills "Repeal the Job-Killing Obamacare Health Reform." Now, I'm sorry if that doesn't seem partisan to them that they put that out. Or the first line of Ryan's budget, which as Paul Krugman points out today, is "The president has failed, so House Republicans will lead."
Yeah.
So, come on, guys. Really? Are you really, really that hurt?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's amazing how I literally, they got the same talking point about calling the speech partisan. You're going, when did it become partisan to refute with facts and figures why you think, you know, your position is right and theirs is wrong?
And when did it become wrong to be partisan? You belong to the president, whether you like it or not. The president belongs to the party that opposes you.
Yeah.
So he's going to say bad things about the things you believe because he won and you didn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's a good point, Root. I feel like particularly with the Ryan budget, it's like the choices really could not be starker in this next election. And you're right. Like, what's wrong with being partisan? It's like, okay, are you on the side that wants to give more tax cuts to the rich and abolish Medicare? Or are you on the side of people that want to, you know, the rich to pay their share fair and not cut these, you know, yeah, go ahead.
And if this is the way it was played, it was actually beautiful to make Republicans cling to the Ryan budget to where all but four of them voted for it. Was that on Friday that they all voted for it?
Yeah.
So that now they have the ads are already written. I mean, the text is straight from the Ryan budget of the ads opposing the House Republicans in the upcoming election. It was beautiful.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've ever seen a boner that's lost control of his caucus, but it's not a pretty sight.
No. He needs to get a hold of that caucus.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
59 Republicans defected. That's, you know, that was obviously big. I mean, it's, but, you know, the other thing, the way some people are painting that route is they're saying, you know, it means the Tea Party really lost. He's proved, like, he doesn't really need them to get stuff done.
No, but he did prove that he needs Democrats to get things done, which I think is funny that the Tea Party's forcing him to be bipartisan. Otherwise, he'll be out of a job. Otherwise, he'll cry because now what he dreamed that one day he'd be has been taken away from him so quickly by the mean kids.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about you, but I think this the Budget Monster's budget is kind of a political gift that's going to keep on giving, don't you?
The Budget Monster?
Paul Ryan, pardon me.
He looks like
Paul
Eddie Munster.
No, you call him the Budget Munster. That's because he looks like Eddie Munster.
Eddie Munster, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yes. Go ahead.
I feel like I should, like, you know, stomp my feet and laugh really loud.
Yes.
I feel like we're old.
We are.
Yes. So, no, this is. It's almost as if Paul Ryan is now some kind of Democratic plant. Like let's get Republicans to actually say they want old people to not have insurance. Which, by the way, I love the part of the Ryan plan, which is let's bribe the elderly part of it. No, if you're on Medicare now, it's cool. You're fine. But, you know, your friends from, you know, the Rotary Club, they're screwed.
Yeah, screw them. And help us screw them, won't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. You can just, you know, swing this big
wheel.
You know,
right-wing hypocrites!
I mean, this is too easy some days, isn't it? You can go back and see all of the things they said about the Affordable Care Act cutting Medicare.
Right.
And how horrible it is. And
oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, what we meant is it's horrible. You need to abolish it. You can't just cut it. I mean, it's incredible how they were literally against that because Obama was for it. I mean, that's the perfect example. And now,
Yeah, because I guess then the whole complaint was he wasn't cutting it enough, and so now they're going to come in and they're going to finish the job. How dare he try to just make it more more friendly to future budgets, you know?
Yeah. Rude. This is the part of the show where I try to drag you into happy clappydom because I know you did write about the president's speech. How many times can we hop on the train to Hopeville only to realize it ain't leaving the station? So you're not confident about how this is going to play out?
I as I was writing that, I thought, Stephanie's going to bring this up.
Stephanie's going to bitch slap me with that.
Uh-oh.
I was going back and his speeches on the Bush budget cuts all through the election at the beginning of his presidency, and he was absolutely explicit that he was not going to extend those tax cuts. And he signed on to a tax cut extension. And there's just been so many times where the rhetoric doesn't match the action. And that Yes, as I said.
How is he going to get unemployment benefits extended, and how is he going to get tax cuts for the rest of us if he didn't accept that? Because this is what I always said, is now he's going to be able to come back if we're having a serious talk, particularly with Paul Ryan's budget plan sitting there, and go, no, this is where, and that's what he said. He said, this is why we cannot expend, I will negotiate on this and this and this, we cannot extend these Bush tax cuts. And that's what I said, that I think that he's going to try to play the long game here.
Yeah, but I don't buy it.
All right. We'll meet here again.
Well, I because this is his opening play. This is where he stands now, and this is where the compromise comes from. Now, which parts of what he said are going to be compromised away? And so is the trade-off going to be, all right, we're not going to cut Medicare and I'll extend the Bush tax cuts? I mean, which part of this is going to go? Because some part is. And so I would rather have him to me at this point, he's sort of broken a trust with me.
Right, but Rude, again, I sort of come back to what are we supposed to do? Now the Republicans control the House. Now how would you, if you're him, how do you do it?
Well, how do I do it? Well, again, if we're going to talk what ifs, it would have been, you know, that I would have wrangled the Democrats into passing a budget before. But you're right, that's past, can't do anything about it.
That's right. So don't sully my valuable airtime with it. Let's move on.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. No, let's look forward, because you know what? That's what Obama wants us to do. Look forward.
Yes.
What I would do now is I would have probably come out with something even more left as my opening play, even more liberal.
Well, I did say that. I said that he should come out and light the Paul Ryan budget on fire, wipe his ass with it, and then propose the Eisenhower tax rates.
Sure,
and then we'll
sure.
start negotiating from there.
Absolutely.
But not many people take my advice, and I think that's probably wise.
And, see, now we've come to where we agree. We have compromised. We have offered a model, and we both, four Republicans and Democrats.
There you go. All right. Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit from therudepundit.blogspot.com. Hilarious. Talk to you next week, honey.
Alrighty, bye.
There you go.
Yay. And you can also follow him on Twitter at twitter.com/rudepundit.
Sure you can. Yes. 46 minutes.
You follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, indeed I do. In a really inappropriate, stalky way. 47 minutes after the hour. Next, Sharon Engel sings.
Oh, God.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Wow, wow. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Tim and Madison, where Sarah Palin was.
Ooh.
Hello, Tim.
Good morning.
Hi.
It was great because half the time you could not hear Sarah Palin speak. Because the people who are pro-union were there and just drowning her out.
Oh, nice.
It got to the point where Andrew Breitbart was there and said the following. You people with your Coke sucker signs, you need to shut up. No, serious, shut up.
Just those are my people. Up. We came up with Coke sucker. Those are my people with the signs.
Just hear him, like,
flying
on the stage, like, no, serious.
Oh, my God. Tim, I'm debating Andrew Breitbart tomorrow on the Joy Behar Show on CNN Headline News. So tune in, won't you?
I will now be DVRing Joy Behar and probably just sitting there with a box of tissues watching you.
All right, honey, thank you. Yeah, here's the delightful, soothing audio that is Sarah Palin.
We didn't elect you just to rearrange the deck chairs on a sinking Titanic. Didn't elect you just to stand back and watch Obama redistribute those deck chairs.
Oh, God. Jim is right. It is cutting through a bicycle with a bandsaw. Oh, is it just me? Am I the only one that has that reaction to that sound?
No, it's awful. It is.
These are the front lines in the battle for the future of our country.
No, guys and gals.
Wow.
She actually beat up on congressional Republicans yesterday, saying that because they didn't cut deeply enough, she says the party needs to fight like a girl.
Oh. Huh?
Whatever.
I think she was using University of Wisconsin women's hockey team as an example. See, she had a local reference in there.
Oh. Okay.
Fight like a girl! And then she went on to say how Scott Walker is, he's not trying to hurt union members.
No.
Hey, folks, he's trying to save your jobs. That's what she said. By the way, did you see Kucinich bitch-slapping Scott Walker at that hearing last week, the House Oversight? After hemming and hawing, Kucinich asked flat out, how much money does it save, Governor Walker, ending collective bargaining? Just answer the question. It doesn't save any, said Walker. Thank you, Dennis Kucinich. None. It saves none.
Do Republicans think that we can't see through their lies? What?
Madison, Mama will be there Saturday. Yes. They're there.
You're going to hold everybody to your breast.
Yeah, because guess what? It looks like Judge Prosser, they're saying, has been reelected because of those magical votes that they found. County tallies finalized Friday showed Justice Prosser defeating Joanne Kloppenburg. They will wait to declare an official winner until the deadline for Kloppenburg to seek a recount passes. She has until Wednesday to call for one. She issued a statement that said only her campaign would weigh a recount request, and she would make an announcement no later than Wednesday. If she requests a recount, the state will pay for it because the margin between the candidates is less than half of a percent. So she, as you know, declared victory on April 6th. But that day, a Waukesha County clerk, Kathy Nicholas, that woman.
Her.
Mm-hmm.
That kindly old grandmother.
Have we invited her to the Sexy Liberal Show Saturday?
Oh, we should.
So that we might hold her upside down and shake her until some votes fall out?
Let's bring her and her couch.
She, as you recall, said she had forgotten to save. You know how that is.
Yeah.
You forgot to save 14,000 votes on her computer. Those new votes, magically, they all went to Prosser. She worked for Prosser, as you recall. These were the fun facts. Previously, as a member of the Assembly Republican Caucus in the mid-90s, Democrats have demanded she resign. Authorities launched an investigation into why she didn't immediately report the votes. They are state election officials reviewing her operations. We'll see what comes of all this. But we've had a lot of these database experts that have told us this system she works on, you don't have to hit save. The whole explanation stinks to high heaven, in my opinion. Huh. All right. You know, I was going to say this hour has been brought to you by GoToMeeting. And let me just tell you, I thought we couldn't live without it before. But now that the Sexy Liberal Show is happening,
holy crap.
GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. All right. I'm not saying that we'll be as entertaining as Sarah Palin when we're in Madison this Saturday. Only a few tickets left. BarrymoreLive.com.
Yep.
For the late show only. But maybe we could have bring Sharon Engel along to open for us.
Oh, no. This is her?
I think she ought to go back to teaching that makeup course.
Yeah.
Didn't she do a Sharon Engel's beauty tips?
She did at a makeup convention in Las Vegas. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Because she's so pretty.
Yeah. As a singer, she's a really good makeup artist. Okay.
And as a makeup artist, she's something.
Oh, I miss Rude Pundit's best line. Obama, at least Obama's version of shared sacrifice is something more akin to actual sharing and not Paul Ryan's version, which is rich people get all the pie and then they get to your grandparents in the ass.
Oh, can you say that?
I just did.
Oh.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, Governor Deval Patrick of Massachusetts coming up this hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Oh, you can email us all there. Executive producer Crystal Boy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, dear God.
What?
Okay. So, Madison, Wisconsin, Stephanie Miller, Sexy Liberal Show, starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang. Just a few tickets left for the late show, BarrymoreLive.com. Syracuse went on sale Saturday, currently on sale at Ticketmaster and at the Krause-Heinz On Center box office.
Yep.
And Minneapolis, we will be in Minneapolis June 14th. That goes on sale tomorrow at noon local time at Ticketmaster.com and at the State Theater box office in Minneapolis. Do we have a free promo for that already from Shano?
Yes.
Yes.
As the battle for the survival of America's middle class enters the next stage, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show World Tour is bringing their fight to the heart of Al Franken territory, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm in town here. I had to do a few things in the Twin Cities.
On June 18th at the State Theater, see the unholy comedy trinity of John Fugelsang, the ecclesiastical moot, the rocker son, Hal Sparks, and the spirit of progressive talk radio,
you sexy
Stephanie Miller. Wow. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000.
Yeah.
Come be a part of the laughs and pure progressive inspiration. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show, the State Theater, Minneapolis, Minnesota, June 18th.
You sexy
Stephanie Miller. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Be there.
Ah, thank you, Shane. Oh, wow. Awesome.
Cue Prince. Don't squeak in. Where the
yes.
That's,
yes.
That's why.
Ah! It's better. It's more fun this weekend than what did your friend write? It's a better thing to do on Easter weekend than doing what?
No, listener Mark wrote to me and said, Chris, I usually stay off the roads on Easter for fear of all the ham-addled Christians driving home from dinner at Grandma's house.
That's true. You might as well be in the Barrymore Theater watching the Sexy Liberal Show. All right, Fran in Phoenix says, because I did mention I am the ugliest liberal on the Sexy Liberal Show, which is sort of distressing since it's my bag.
Yes.
Steph, being the ugliest sexy liberal is like being the dumbest teabagger. It's a high bar. That's true, friend. Thank you. They're all dumb. I mean, just saying I'm not as sexy as Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang. And then if Aisha, Tyler ever joins us.
Oh, boy. That
kind of idiot am I. All right. Let's see. Brett and Everett write, Steph, Dilly Louise Miller's two dads just got tickets to the Late Show in Madison for Sexy Liver World Tour. We know it's late for you. Oh, but dear God, and who knows what's going to happen at the Late Show.
Oh.
But we know you'll sparkle anyway, and there is there's Dilly Louise. Look at Dilly Louise. Is a little...
Sparkle, Neely, sparkle. I think it was a reference to Valley of the Dolls.
They sent a picture of their dog, Dilly.
Yes.
Dilly Louise.
Right.
Okay. All right. Stuart writes, Steph, we have zero progressive stations in the entire state of Alabama. Yes. Yes, aware of that. I downloaded an app for my phone, TuneIn Radio. Found your show about three weeks ago. Been listening to it ever since. Thanks for providing humor in such a bleak political environment.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Stuart. You know, there are Facebook pages popping up all over the country demanding the Sexy Liberal Show. Places we don't even have stations.
Yeah.
So,
The TuneIn Radio.
Might be a reason to get yourself some progressive radio stations in some areas. Just saying. Seems there's an appetite for that sort of thing.
The TuneIn Radio app is awesome. It basically carries every station that we are on.
Wow. Yeah, you need, you need apps, Jim. You need Stitcher. You need,
Stitcher is good.
Satellite. You can't, because you can't, your fillings, because you can't, don't expect to get progressive radio on a radio station. That's asking a lot.
And no one has metal fillings anymore, so that's
right. That option's
exactly.
porcelain is a horrible conductor of radio waves.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. And
no,
by
Henry
the way,
Mancini, in other words.
I see what I did there.
conductor.
Hi.
Hey.
God.
And Liz writing, Steph, John Stewart totally stole your Paul Ryan, Eddie Munster joke. Mm-hmm. You rule, Steph. You're a trendsetter, or at least on air earlier than the other.
Well.
Yeah, and my bet I bet tickets to Sexy Liver Show are a lot cheaper than to see John Stewart, and I'm just saying they tend to... do a lot of homages.
They only have, you know, 4 half hours to fill a week. That's all they have.
I've noticed 35 Emmy-winning writers.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm an Emmy winner.
Yeah, so well, Jim Ward is.
Yeah, you know, if they steal from me.
Yeah, exactly.
A compliment, I guess. No, but I've seen lots of times on both Colbert and on Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
We just said something very much like that this morning.
And Jim and I are like, compliments, cash. Compliments, cash. We'll take the cash if you don't mind. Hey, Jim, did you see this? Speaking of comedy, did you see this hilarious Orange County Republicans? It's an email that superimposed President Obama's face on a little baby chip.
Oh, Jim, that's precious.
And he has Jim Parrott, and that's why there's no
you
birth certificate.
How dare you interpret it that way?
Exactly. Exactly. This is, I have to say, one of my favorite explanations ever. Marilyn Davenport, please and thank you. A Southern California Tea Party activist who is a...
Who wants you to take off your lace panties.
Yes, and stop being a noodle racist noodleback if you think that's racist that she superimposed the president. yes, she when asked if she thought the email was appropriate, clearly she did. Granted, it's a dumb question. She said, Davenport is quoted as saying, oh, come on. Everyone who knows me knows I'm not a racist.
Oh, of course.
All the other racists that know her. Of course.
Yeah.
It was a joke. I have friends who are black. Wait for it.
Name one.
By the way, Chris, can we reach one of them? Because this is the thing, they don't, you know, do enough investigative work in these stories. Has anyone ever tried to mention one? Has anyone ever said, really? Might I have their name and phone number or email address? Because I would like to speak to your black friends.
I'd like to follow up.
I'd like to follow up on their senses of humor. And exactly how hilarious they think black people look like monkeys humor is.
It's just a Planet of the Apes homage. I'm sure that's what it is.
Anyway, she said, besides, I only sent it to a few people.
Oh, well.
This is the lamest excuse ever. Mostly people I didn't think would be upset by it. Yes, other racists like you. Yes, exactly.
The head of the Klan, for example. Thought it was hilarious.
Maybe she just doesn't understand how email works. She is a kindly grandmother.
That's
after
what.
All.
Yes, her racist friend defended her and said that. Oh, she's just a polite, kind grandmother.
Sure.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Well, even Fred Phelps was polite to you.
I'm sure many people have grandparents that are incredibly racist.
they came from a different time.
Would blurt things out at dinner. Yes. Guess just because your grandmother doesn't mean you're not a racist grandmother. All right, Judy, because, you know, Mama has the smartest kids in class. Judy, who is the official nitpicker of the Stephanie Miller Show? Oh, join the club. There's a lot of those, Judy.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Hi, Stephanie. I have a question about the use of the word entitlements. Every time I hear Democrats say they're not entitlements, it's our money, it bugs me. Isn't that what an entitlement is, something you're entitled to? We're entitled to unemployment benefits because we paid into it. We're entitled to Social Security because we paid into it. The same way we're entitled to our paychecks every week because we worked for them. Shouldn't we embrace the word and start saying, you're right, give us our entitlements, and force them to come up with one of their bogus phrases like freedom-killing giveaways? Yes.
To which we are entitled. Yes.
Thank you, Judy.
But it's been perverted to mean something frivolous and not necessary. Yeah.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh calling people slobs and, oh, you know, they want handouts. It's like, what? I worked all my life and paid into this.
Yeah.
How is that
some sort
of giveaway?
Millions and millions of dollars for bloviating like Limbaugh does. I call that a handout.
That's an entitlement. Yeah. I'd say some people are very entitled, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. A sense of entitlement, anyway.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
He's entitled to all the off-market Viagra that he can shoot.
Sure.
Exactly, to cause the permanent stiffy.
Now in Cool Ranch flavor.
Thank you. You know I believe children are the future.
I've heard that.
I did. Well, some of them.
I believe the children
except this one.
Are future.
In Norcross, Georgia, police say a 5-year-old girl took a bag of marijuana on a bus bound for her school. Authorities say when the bus driver told the girl she smelled funny, she pulled a bag of marijuana from her book bag. Police said in a report the child told the bus driver that, Mommy, put it in there!
Oh.
That is awful. Why can't
you don't put a sack lunch together when you're stoned.
Why are kids so chatty? That is a horrible story. Shut your little pie hole.
You shouldn't pack a lunch when you're stoned, clearly. She put something in the wrong bag.
You'd pack, if you had a kid, you'd pack the kid's lunch with a bottle of wine thinking it was a juice box.
Yes, and I'd tell them to shut their little pie hole about it if authorities were happening to discover
it. Shove the straw through the cork. up.
How am I going to smoke?
I would mostly teach my kids to shut up.
How am I going to smoke a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Well, it's worth a try.
Kids are entirely too chatty. Anthony in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Steph. I'd like to be the official special ed teacher of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome, sir.
Well, I want to give you an update of what's going on out here in the wonderful land of Arizona. We just passed our birth bill this weekend.
Terrific.
That's right.
Oh, terrific. Good.
Yeah, so I'm one of those.
And I hear tell there's some people hoping to arrest the president when it comes to campaign, perhaps. And
I would put it past him.
Uh-huh.
Sheriff Arpaio probably wants to.
Mm-hmm.
Secret Service might have something to say about that.
Oh, sorry. They also ran a bill through the state legislature to strip the health insurance mandate so that the companies here in Arizona could compete more fairly with the out of state companies coming in. So now there's no laws on what health insurance companies have to cover anymore.
Great.
And now they're letting you can take your.
Well, thank God you can take a gun in a bar there, because there won't be, I'm sure, any kind of untoward injuries that might require health care.
And you can carry your weapon now through the college campus.
That's awesome.
You can take it into the classroom campus, walk across campus.
Awesome. If you know, if you have a grade dispute, anything like that, you know, it's just adds a
comes
little,
in handy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just wonderful things that we're coming up with every day out here in Arizona to make it a wonderful place to live.
But at least you'll be able to barter with chickens for your health care soon.
Oh, that was Nevada.
Chicken lady.
Oh, Nevada. That was Nevada.
You can tell which crazy Western biatch in which crazy state they're talking about.
They're competing to be the craziest state in the union, I think.
Yeah. I know. I think they're winning.
Yeah.
I really do.
Wow.
All right. Whew, that winded me. 17 minutes after the hour. All right. The latest on the budget, the Tea Party, much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
They call me her. They call me
Stephanie Miller.
That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. They call me Cracker. Behind my back, yeah. Maybe you're a girl. Always the same. They call my name. That's not my name.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Were you clearing your throat to say something the Daily Show is going to steal, or were you just clearing your throat from eating?
Chris from Yankton, Mom, wrote, when Jon Stewart or Stephen Colbert steal your jokes, it reminds me of the quote from James McNeil Whistler to Oscar Wilde. Wilde says, wish I'd said that. Whistler, you will, Oscar, you will.
Okay. Let's go.
Yeah. Oscar Wilde jokes, fart jokes. Oscar Wilde jokes, fart jokes.
Herb in New Mexico. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Herb.
Not fart jokes. I'm in the line for the Golden Arches to get my morning breakfast.
Oh.
But,
thanks for the update.
This is, the reason I called was...
Egg a muffin.
Take them off?
Egg a muffin.
Egg a muffin.
All right, go ahead, Herb. Go ahead.
You know what? They try to make Obama a reactionary, and it's not going to happen. That's not who he is. You know, he's thoughtful, and it's just not going to happen. And that's what they're used to dealing with. So that was my only comment. I heard something earlier that really made sense to me about that.
Yeah, well, you know what happens? Every time they describe him as a crazy, wild-eyed socialist, communist, he was ready. She was ready for his order.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I hope I didn't influence him into getting an egg him off. He could get something else. All right.
A what?
No, every time they describe the president like that, then what happens is he gives a speech. People go, that seems like a fairly reasoned plan that does not involve abolishing Medicare and making rich people even richer. Wow, how about this on tax day? Super rich see federal taxes drop dramatically.
Huh.
As millions of procrastinators scramble to meet Monday today's tax filing deadline, ponder this. The super rich pay a lot less in taxes than they did a couple of decades ago, and nearly half of U.S. households pay no income tax at all.
Wow.
The Internal Revenue Service tracks the tax returns with the 400 highest adjusted gross incomes each year. The average income on those returns in 2007, the latest year for IRS data, was nearly $345 million. Their average federal income tax rate was 17%, down from 26%. In 1992.
Wow.
Yeah, the president has to get some little charts for his next speech. Mm-hmm. Like Paul Ryan, the budget monster, brings his little helpful charts. I'd meet the press. the top income tax rate is 35%, so how can people who make so much pay so little in taxes? The nation's tax laws are packed with breaks for people at every income level. There are so many breaks that 45% of U.S. households will pay no federal income tax for 2010. I mean, there are people, there's a specific guy that's quoted in this article, Eric Schoenberg. He said 2009 was a bad year for investments for him, so his income dropped to a little over $200,000. His federal income tax bill was a little more than $2,000. He said, I simply point out to people, do you think this is reasonable that somebody in my circumstances should only be paying 1% of their income in tax? He says he usually makes north of $500,000 a year. It was a bad year. He makes $200,000. He paid $2,000 in taxes.
Right.
Yeah. Senator Orrin Hatch, I love this. I always love this. Senator Hatch says he has a solution for rich people who want to pay more taxes. Write a check to the IRS. There's nothing stopping you. Don't you hate that?
Sure. Just volunteer to do
it. Well, if you want to be more ticket, then you go ahead and make my ticket.
By the way, the IRS won't accept checks willy-nilly like that.
Yes. Sure. Yeah, and like you can fix it on your own, the entire
Here,
tax
I'll tell you
problem.
What I'll pay.
Yes.
One penny.
This, well, I'm going to pay nothing from now on. I'm just putting job creator
yes,
on my
Yes,
on
you
my
created
form.
My job.
I certainly did. A crappy one that it is on this little fart joke show.
So you're going to leave it
it's
up to...
It's a job.
So you're going to leave it up to me to pay the taxes. Thanks, Steph.
Exactly. I'm kind of getting down with this whole budget monster plan.
I'd gladly pay you on tax day for a hamburger on Tuesday.
Schoenberg says Hatch's suggestion misses the point. This voluntary idea clearly represents a mindset that basically pretends there's no such thing as a collective goods that we produce. Are you going to let people volunteer to build the road system? Or are you going to let them volunteer to pay for education? I mean, that's exactly it. You know, it's just such a stupid argument. All right. Mike in Madison was there for Caribou Barbie's little speech. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Oh, it was beautiful. It was like they took a picture and scraped off the top of the septic tank with all their lineup of guests they had. And, of course, the media spins it. You know, oh, it was a 50-50 crowd. I think we probably had them outnumbered 10-1. But I got to tell you, they were really angry, and they weren't ready for our diaphragms that we've built up. Now, what I did was kind of rude.
Your voice. I'm sorry.
Well, every time, every time someone tried to speak for them, we had the plastic voo-voo horns from the side.
Vuvuzelas?
Vuvuzelas.
Just blowing my mind out, and they're grabbing at my horn and swinging their signs at me, and it was fun, actually. And now we're listening to them on right-wing radio. Nancy Misto, one of our great ones, who, when her kids are in the back of her van and they come to an event, they're flipping the crowd off. So
it's
beautiful. Class act by all of them. Class act.
You classy with a K. All right. Thank you, Mike.
You bet.
All right. We'll try to class up the joint on Saturday when we get there for a Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal show.
That's right. Maybe Sarah Palin will sit in the audience and just shout things at you.
There's going to be a lot of people's vuvuzelas grabbed. Let me tell you what, Saturday. What?
Oh.
I don't know what I meant by that. All right. Speaking of classing things up, 29 minutes after the hour, Governor Deval Patrick of the great state of Massachusetts next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, hubba hubba dang dang, who invented this thing?
Was that Adam West?
It was Adam West.
It sounded like him.
Yeah.
I worked with him on a cartoon once.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. All right, everybody be on their best behavior now, for God's sakes. We have a very distinguished guest. Am I saying the name right?
Deval.
Governor Deval Patrick became the first black governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, one of only three black governors in U.S. history. Just one triumphant step in the unbelievable journey. I was reading about it literally last night in A Reason to Believe, Lessons from an Improbable Life. The governor joins us now. Good morning, Governor.
Steph, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. I've been a fan of yours.
There's absolutely no reason why you should be on your best behavior and in that way distinguish yourself from my constituents.
And a sense of humor, too. Governor, I'm thrilled to talk to you. Seriously. I, the book is And interesting, and I think at this time, because someone was pointing out, you defied all national trends. You know, it was an anti-democratic, anti-incumbent year. And it almost, you know, to me, it echoes what the president is doing now. It's because you had a positive message. And I think, you know, given the choice, Americans usually vote for a positive vision, don't they?
I think we are a positive people, and I think we want an optimistic country. And, you know, as my grandmother used to say, as I write in the book, hope for the best and work for it. It's not just wishful thinking, it's applying ourselves. I'm a very hopeful person. I'm an unrepentant idealist, and in many respects the book is a tribute to the adults, and some of them known, some totally anonymous, who have taught me those lessons.
Well, I mean, you know, it's such an inspirational story, and it sounds so familiar to me, Governor, a black man from Chicago who went to Harvard and has become unbelievably successful with a powerful message, a powerful and positive message. It's almost eerie, isn't it?
I don't know who you could be referring to. I've had some extraordinary experiences, some great blessings, and they come in so many ways from individuals, you know, from my grandparents to the bus driver I describe in the preface to the book, who took a minute just to pay attention and offer me some small lesson that has made all the difference.
Well, that's what you say. It's optimism, as you were just saying. It's optimism and effort. It's investing in the future, as I think the president talked about the other day. Whereas, you know, it seems to me, Paul Ryan, for instance, it is really, as the president said, such a stark sort of pessimistic vision of America, I think. I mean, it literally is what he's saying, that, oh, we can't fix our crumbling infrastructure. We can't invest in our kids, you know, in the future, even though kids in all these other countries are you know, outpacing American kids. I mean, I think that the president is so much for American exceptionalism like you are.
Well, listen, first of all, I think none of us is denying that we denying the really difficult choices in front of everybody, not just governments, but in front of families and small businesses. But in Massachusetts, for example, in the last 5 years, we have invested in public education at the highest level in the history of the Commonwealth, even when the bottom was falling out of everything else. And we've invested in healthcare. We've invested in job creation. And as a result, our students are number one in the nation in student achievement. We are number one in the nation in healthcare coverage, with over 98% of our residents insured today. And we're growing jobs faster than 45 other states. This isn't happening by accident.
Yes,
we made some choices, and we made those choices consistent with our values and that more optimistic view of what our future can be if we apply ourselves to it.
Well, Governor, I'm so glad you brought up that Romney care, because that certainly was a good idea, wasn't it?
It actually, you know, and you giggle when you say that, as sometimes people do, because they think we're tongue-in-cheek when we congratulate.
Right. No, I mean it. Mitt Romney couldn't, yeah.
I do congratulate him. I don't understand why one would distance oneself from something that has done this much good to these many people.
That's right.
Over 99% of our kids have insurance today. I mean, no other state can touch that.
No, I mean, that's exactly right, Governor. That was exactly my point, is that it's kind of sad that this is where the Republican Party has gone, that where something is working so well, rather than take that, as the president did, and even pointed to Romney Care and how it's working in Massachusetts and using it as a national model, and now this is something to demonize. I mean, like you say, how is that a bad thing, that 99% of your kids are insured?
Well, let me go further. You know, we had 70% of our businesses offering insurance to their employees before health care reform was signed into law 5 years ago. It's up to 76% now. So that's gone in the right direction and defied the naysayers. It's added about 1% to the state budget. The big challenge now in Massachusetts and all around the country is our premiums that keep going up at double digits year after year.
Yeah.
And we've got some really exciting initiatives underway now, which I think will crack the code on this, just as we did on coverage.
Yeah. Well, Governor, talk about your book for a little bit. You know, you have this story that really is amazing. You came from a poor tenement on Chicago's South Side. You went to Harvard College, Harvard Law School. Have had obviously an amazing career, gone on to be governor. And you talk about, like, how you did it. You talk about the power of community in your book. What do you mean by that?
Well, when I was growing up, Steph, as you said, most of that time on welfare on the south side of Chicago, and my mother and sister and I shared a two-bedroom tenement with my grandparents, and we lived in one of those rooms and had a set of bunk beds. So you go from the top bunk to the bottom bunk to the floor every third night on the floor. I went to big, broken, under-resourced, sometimes violent public schools, but we had a very strong sense of community. Because that was a time when every child was under the jurisdiction of every single adult on the block. If you messed up down the street in front of Ms. Jones, she'd straighten you out as if you were hers and then call home, right? So you get it two times. And I think what those adults were trying to get across to us was that they had a stake in us, that they expected us to understand being in a community is understanding the stake each of us has in each other.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's exactly, you know, what I think this next election is going to be about. You know, the president talked a lot about the power of we, right? We're the ones we've been waiting for. And that's the part I love about your book is that you know, again, the Republican vision seems to be you're on your own, you know, every man for himself. And you know, I think that, you know, you're a perfect example of how people achieve and by raising each other up.
Well, I think, you know, the notion that we are in this together, that we have a stake in each other, is not actually inconsistent with individual expectation and achievement. But the notion that most of the time, you know, I meet people who say I did this all on my own, and then when you peel it back a little bit, well, in fact, they got a break because somebody paid attention to this or saw a strength that they wanted to encourage or gave them a little encouragement. None of us does it entirely on our own. And the question is, I think, what are the things that we want government to do? Because government is just the name we give to the things we choose to do together, right? That's it.
Right. Governor, what is your take on the Tea Party and, you know, how all this is going to play out in the next budget battle?
Steph, I don't know. I can't quite tell what the Tea Party is about other than saying no to everything the president says yes to. I've met members of the Tea Party, and the one's reasons for being an activist in the Tea Party are different from the next one, or different from the next one. I think there is just this there is this tension out there, this real competition between whether we're going to be a can-do country and a can't-do country.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what I hear from the Tea Party is we are a can't-do country, and I think that if that view wins. Then a big part of the American character will have vanished. And I don't think that the American people are going to let that happen.
Governor, we've been talking all morning about how, you know, we always say, gee, I've never seen it this bad. I mean, we said that during Clinton. We said, but I mean, it really does seem like there is something, we have reached a level. And some of it, I have to just say, you have to say is out-and-out racism. I don't, whether it's Donald Trump, you know, in the birtherism movement being reborn about the president. You know, we talked about out here in California, there's a Tea Party Republican who sent a you know, email with the president's face imposed on a chimpanzee who literally thinks, you know, said it's ridiculous anyone would think that's racist. I mean, what is happening in our dialogue politically these days, do you think?
Well, civility is vanishing. Some of the rules of basic respect and courtesy, you know, respect for the office, even, have been tossed to the side, and that's very, very discouraging. But I think, you know, that I will say this, and I say this as a proud Democrat, but Democrats can get on my last nerve.
Listen, some days I hear you.
You know, rather than just talking about what's wrong with the other side, we need to spend more time on what's right with our vision. We need to talk about what we are for, and we need to grow a backbone and stand up for that.
Yep.
That is we are about not this notion that government can solve every problem in everybody's life, but that government has a role to play in helping people help themselves.
Well, I mean,
that's not a radical idea.
Yeah. And
it's a very American idea.
And I think we have to thank Paul Ryan for that, Governor, because I think it couldn't be clearer that, you know, for us to take a stand and say, well, guess what? We are not for abolishing Medicare and, you know, giving more tax breaks to the rich and taking it out on the poor and the needy.
Right. And I think the other day when the president gave his, laid out his own deficit reduction plan, When he took the conversation to the a question of what kind of country we want to live in, what kind of America we believe in, that's exactly where the debate belongs. And I feel very, very confident that that the view that he is laying out is not just one that will appeal to Democrats, it's one that will appeal to patriots, to people who have a very strong feeling about this country's aspirational power and influence.
Speaking of patriots, you are a patriot to give us this much time because they tell me you have a state to govern or something. you really must go. But thanks for giving us so much time this morning, Governor. We appreciate it.
You're great to have me on. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. There he goes, Governor Deval Patrick. The book is A Reason to Believe, Lessons from an Improbable Life.
Yep.
He's fabulous.
And there's a link to there's a link to it up at stephaniemiller.com.
He's awesome.
He is awesome.
Okay. 45 minutes after the hour.
What?
Do I have to give Donald Trump more attention? He's already huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Huge amount of attention.
Huge. I will fall into that trap next, hugely, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. What happened to Sheena Easton? She never calls.
Oh, Lord. By the way, no need to go to war over me. Just buy a ticket to the Sexy Liberal Show. All right. See how I slipped that in.
Buy a ticket to all of them.
Yes! All right, Madison, Wisconsin, this Saturday. Just a very few tickets left.
Yep.
BarrymoreLive.com. Tickets on sale in Syracuse
mm-hmm.
At the, I believe, Ticketmaster.
Ticketmaster.
And also tomorrow for Minneapolis, June 18th, we'll be in Minneapolis going on sale tomorrow
yep.
at Ticketmaster. Oh, God. Okay. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Donald Trump, somebody sent me the most hilarious picture of him standing in the wind.
Oh.
His hair is just, I don't,
oh,
it just,
I'd love to see that.
It's like cotton candy in a windstorm. It just swirls, and I don't.
I created the hole in the ozone layer with the hairspray I use to hold my skull marking in place.
He is just.
Me. You're welcome.
Ridiculous.
He's huge. Huge.
And I'm so glad the GOP is taking him seriously.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
If I run and win, our country will be respected again.
Sure. Yeah, our country will be a laughing stock
yeah.
of the
yeah.
universe if we elect Donald Trump president.
He's the guy who lost money on a casino.
How do you lose money yeah. on a casino?
Yeah, that's generally skewed in favor of the House.
Yes. If you, set the odds right.
Not much of a gambler. I lost a quarter once in a slot machine and I was done. But I'm just saying.
He doesn't know when to hold them or to fold them.
No. Or when to walk away. Clearly. Okay. He just, and he keeps doubling down on the birther nonsense,
mm-hmm.
Even though, oh my goodness, it's gotten 4 Pinocchios on, it's pants on fire on the fact-checking websites. Oh, here are the fun facts, because that's the thing, you just hear this nonsense and you go, what? I give him credit, he says it, and you think, oh, is that true? It's like, no.
No.
It's completely not true.
But I say with chutzpah.
That's true.
Say it with what?
Chutzpah.
Uh-huh.
Aha. Yeah. Yes. In his letter to the New York Times, Trump raised other questions that have already been answered by either PolitiFact or FactCheck.org. For instance, he said, his grandmother from Kenya stated on tape he was born in Kenya and she was there to watch the births. That's false. On the tape, there was an initial misunderstanding, but then she said he was born in Hawaii. The interpreter misheard. His family in Honolulu is fighting over which hospital in Hawaii he was born in. They just don't know. That's another myth with no basis, in fact, whatsoever.
It was in the paper, actually.
Yeah.
I'll get to that. He has not been able to, he said, he's not been able to produce a birth certificate, but merely a totally unsigned certificate of live birth, which is totally different and of very little significance. That's wrong.
Untrue.
It is signed and has full legal significance. The state of Hawaii has said this is the birth certificate for the state of Hawaii.
What do they know? What do they know Hawaii except poi?
He wrote, there are no records in Hawaii that a Barack Hussein Obama was born there. That's wrong again. There is plenty of evidence. Oh, here was his explanation for the notice in the newspapers, Jim. He said, as far as the two notices placed in the newspapers, many things could have happened.
Mm, time machine,
but
for example.
This is the Fox, some say, some feel the grandparents put an ad in order to show he was the president of the U.S. He was a citizen of the U.S. See how crafty they were? That information was actually provided by the State Department of Health, not the grandparents.
Right.
Your family doesn't put... okay. Love of God, Donald Trump. Okay.
Whether you like him or not, George Bush gave us Obama, and I'm not happy about it. Okay, I'm not happy about it. We have a disaster on our hands. We have a man right now that almost certainly will go down as the worst president in the history of the United States.
You know what Donald Trump said 4 years ago? George W. Bush will go down in history as the worst president of the United States. You know what he said 8 years ago? Bill Clinton will go down in history as the worst president in the history of the United States.
Donald Trump will go down in history as the worst president in the United States.
He says that about every president.
Donald Trump will go down in history as the person engaging in the most hyperbole of any person ever
huge
history of hyperbole.
It's huge hyperbole.
It's almost like you're implying that he likes attention of some sort, Chris.
A little bit.
That he likes to make declarative statements that will garner some sort of attention for his other enterprises.
Yeah, a little bit.
The president
before they go bankrupt.
The president is a Martian. I have proof. I have pictures of him climbing out of the flying saucer.
Boy, here he goes.
Obama is unwilling or unable to show his birth certificate.
Oh,
he had lousy marks in school, and he got into Harvard on a scholarship.
Really? He had lousy marks, and that's how you get into Harvard and become a president of the Harvard Law Review.
Because they were grooming him to be the worst president in the United States history.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course, in the history of everything.
There's lots of chutzpah, give him that.
I love it when you say that.
Oh, boy.
And I should know from chutzpah.
I only engage in this kind of hyperbole with my dog, Max, who I frequently say to, he was the best dog in the history of the dog and in the history of history.
And he agrees.
You are.
What does Fred say about that?
You're the best dog in the history of history.
What does Fred think about
You're the best boy in the history of boys in history. Okay.
Fred says, I'm going to run for president of the United States. I'll be huge.
I don't think so Fred can hear. I just lift one flap of Max's giant ear.
You have chosen one of your
children
over
not.
The other.
No, I do not. I tell Fred different things.
What do you tell Fred?
Fred's a good boy, too. Okay.
Oh, so Fred's the also ran. Gotcha. I'm sure they love hearing that.
Hey, mommy's got a bun.
Wow.
Goodbye.
Okay.
You're
crazy.
So, your point? Okay, Donald Trump also says he's a better businessman than Mitt Romney. Oh, he's getting into the fight
boy.
About who's his bigger, who's fortune.
How many times have you gone bankrupt? I rest my case.
I don't think Mitt Romney actually has gone bankrupt.
I don't think he has either.
Trump tells us
CNN, you're not taking risks.
He has a much, much bigger net worth. I mean, my net worth
huge.
Is many, many, many,
huge.
Many times Mitt Romney.
Huge net worth.
I don't think that that's true, may I just say. Trump describes Romney as a small business guy.
Really?
Yeah. He owns actually Bain Capital, which I think owns the stations I'm currently broadcasting on, Clear Channel.
Yeah.
And let's see. Well, I don't
huge.
Think. Yeah. He helped launch a Staples office supply chain as well as Domino's Pizza. Okay.
Really?
He's a small business owner, Mitt Romney, according to Donald Trump, whose business is much bigger.
I'm
in fact,
his
it's huge.
Business is, I'm not talking about his business. I'm saying he's small. That's what I'm saying. You should catch my drift through between the lines.
So
he's not huge is what I'm saying.
Huh.
I have speculated on what is not huge. I'm just saying the need to put up many, many, many giant phallic-shaped buildings with your name on it. Might signify that
huge
gold plated
your manhood might be a little less than
it's more tasteful because it's gold plated
huge
it's
okay.
Covered in taste.
Okay. 58 minutes after the hour. Oh boy. Hey, guess what, kids? It's the return of Mondays with McClure. Edie McClure joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Well, I'm walking on sunshine.
hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Vehicles. Certified affordable luxury. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Mark in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Mama.
Hi,
Luke.
Baby.
Hi, I had two quick things for you,
yes.
Mama. I've been a long, long time listener and adoration for you from afar.
Thank you.
But
well, that's what the restraining order says, yes.
You can go to Madison, Wisconsin and Minneapolis, and then you're going to hop right over the Big D, where we're big progressive state, labor state. We got the
Detroit. I know. You know what? We're working on it, I'm sure. We will stay tuned on the Sexy Liberal Show. We have a Facebook page and all that, I'm sure. Because you know why he's saying that?
Why?
Because I'm wearing my Detroit hat this morning.
You are.
We will get there. Oh. Yes, we will. Oh, by the way, you can see me because we're on Ustream.
Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
Yes, where Anthony says, Steph, seeing you dance didn't kill me, but it did take away my will to live. Tony.
Oh, dear.
You. Yeah. If you're listening, if you don't want to see me dance, don't watch the Ustream then. Fine. All right. This Saturday, Stephanie Miller, Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show will be in
Madison, Wisconsin, yeah. Where we expect those people to be communing with Satan up there in the Madison, Wisconsin.
Only very few tickets left for the late show. You can go to BarrymoreLive.com. Some of that money going to Wisconsin United. UnitedWisconsin.com, pardon me, behind the recall of Walker and the Republican 8.
Although Satan will be scalping outside the event.
Satan will be scalping. So you better get your tickets today. They're going to be gone. And then you got to buy them from Satan. All right. And we are currently on sale in Syracuse, ladies and gentlemen.
Warning. The Department of Liberal Comedy has just issued a statement raising the laugh alert level for Syracuse, New York to code orange.
John Boehner, not a color that appears in the natural world.
In an effort to protect the public from the side effects of John Boehner's curious orange hue.
You mean I'm going to stay this color?
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show has been dispatched to Syracuse, New York, home of the real orange men.
When are we going to stand up and take them on?
On Saturday, May 14th, at the Onsetter Krauss-Heinz Theater. Join Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and Stephanie Miller for an evening of perfect progressive brilliance and non-stop laughter.
That's at the top of our list.
Yeah.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at the On Center Krauss-Heinz Theater in Syracuse, May 14th. It's the only antidote to John Boehner's orange, or the orange.
Yay! Thank you, Shano.
The music accompanying that bit was Orange Crush by R.E.M. Yeah.
See what Shano did there?
Uh-huh.
And more importantly, see what Shano did for free? God love Shano. He was working in the promo tree where he makes his little promo cookies all weekend. Yes.
As the battle for the survival of America's middle class enters the next stage.
No, not that one. I want Minneapolis. We've got Minneapolis coming up. Minneapolis, June. We are June 18th in Minneapolis, correct? Is that the one?
Miller's Sexy Liberal Show World Tour is bringing their fight to the heart of Al Franken territory. Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm in town here. I had to do a few things in the Twin Cities.
On June 18th at the State Theater, see the unholy comedy trinity of John Fugelsang, the ecclesiastical moot, the rocker son, Hal Sparks, and the spirit of progressive talk radio.
You sexy
Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000.
I like it.
Come be a part of the laughs and pure progressive inspiration. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show, the State Theater, Minneapolis, Minnesota, June 18th.
You sexy
Stephanie Miller. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Be there.
All right, they go on sale at noon today for Minneapolis.
Tomorrow, excuse me.
Tomorrow at noon, they go on sale. Speaking of comedy royalty, ladies and gentlemen.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday. Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore it.
Edie McClurg.
Good morning, Edie McClurg. You were shooting something last week, and I had to point out that it was that's what's known as a television, not something somebody with a gun.
No.
We felt the need to.
No.
Yes.
No.
Eerie Sarah Palin, but you were not shooting anything from a helicopter.
No, you have to put your pistolos away when you go on, you know, going to do a show. They frisk you.
By the way, only you can capture just the eerie sort of grating sound.
These are the front lines in the battle for the future of our country.
Don't worry, we will bring Kleenex to clean up your bleeding ears in Madison. She was in Madison this last weekend.
Oh, I love your going to Syracuse.
Oh, God.
Because that was where I went to grad school.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. I got my master's degree in radio, TV, and film at Syracuse. And when it got to be wintertime, you're lucky you're going up there in the nice time. But, I tell you,
listen, I grew up in Buffalo. You can't scare me.
Oh, I bought that 6-foot-long orange and blue scarf, and I was right there because you had to park from Hellangan, you know, and then wrap that scarf around you so you could get to the campus without getting all frozen.
Are you
going to
talk like that all morning? Or
no.
Okay. All right. What sort of entertainment were you shooting last week?
Rules of Engagement with Patrick Warburton,
fabulous.
The old putty guy, and David Spade was my scene partner.
Oh, good.
Yes, he goes, I'll give it away, he goes on what he thinks is a red hot cruise.
Yes.
It's a red hat cruise.
Oh.
And all the ladies are over 50. And I'm one of those ladies. And I befriend him, and we have a great time together.
Well, you, as you know, we are just huge fans of everything you've ever done, ever.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Starting from the shower scene in Carrie, where you were naked.
Naked. Mm-hmm. My thighs were pretty good then.
They're still good. All right. Let's see. A fine American, Bob in Akron, writes, Steph, I've been listening to some of last week's Stephcast, only $4.95 a month, you know, if you buy a year in advance.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Cheap at half the price.
What? Thank you. What? Sure.
Cheap at twice the price.
Twice is what you meant to say.
I did.
And you had called from Texas Teabag Billy and other right-wingers talking down to you as if you know nothing about how the U.S. got to be $14 trillion in debt. Well, I was cleaning files out of an old MP3 player, and I came across your show from December 2007.
What?
Wow. You'll probably think it's weird getting a drop of you on your own show, but I think you could use this. It's from Hour 2, where you clearly state that there's a looming crisis. See, I'm the smart. You know, A.D., I'm a good 2 to 3 minutes ahead of my time. you clearly state there's a looming crisis because of the runaway spending by the Bush administration. The teabaggers are not serious. If they were, they'd still want to know what happened to the $12 billion that disappeared into thin air after Bush had loaded into a C-130 aircraft and flown into Iraq. So the next time Texas Teabag Billy or Commiecrat Ken from Pennsylvania or any other right-wing, you know, tries to talk smack to you about the deficit, you can tell them to drink a giant steaming cup of SDFU sprinkled on top with some KMA. I don't know what that is. Throw this in their face and ask them once again, where the hell were you weasels 4 freaking years ago when we were talking about the deficit and I was writing letters to the editor and getting nothing in return but hate mail and death threats? Yes, Steph, you're not the only one. Bob in Akron, who sends me a sound clip of me, Edie, because I don't know about you, but I can't get enough of
Stephanie Miller
on the Stephanie Miller Show. This is from, I don't know when it is.
2007.
By the by, speaking of your money, the national debt is growing. Where's my cha-ching, cha-ching? The national debt growing by $1 million a minute. $1 million. Like a ticking time bomb, the national debt is explosion waiting to happen. It's expanding by about $1.4 billion a day. That's nearly $1 million a minute. Here's what that means to you. $30,000 in debt for every man, woman, and child, and infant in the United States.
Wow.
Thank you, President Bush. Government faces the prospect.
Do you really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, Stephanie.
Faces the prospect of seeing this debt now at relatively low interest rate rolling over to higher rates, multiplying the financial pain. So it could get even worse. Thanks again, President Bush.
Huh.
All right. I am like magic. Do you see what I'm saying?
You are prescient.
All I notice is that your voice was much higher.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, because I think that was probably before the change, Jim. You know,
or
I've gotten to be old,
gallons
Lucy.
I've gone yellow.
Well, yeah. It's gone Maud into old Lucy. And yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's Jack Palance.
Now I'm Jack Palance. And on Ustream, you can see I look just like him, too. Thank you, Jim. Whatever gal wants to hear. Oh, gosh. You know, everybody's growing up.
Yeah, whisper those sweet nothings in my ear.
My friend Trish sends us this.
Some one-arm push-ups.
I will do some one-arm push-ups on Ustream if I must.
I bet you can.
Everyone's getting older. This week we celebrate a special birthday, Edie. Monica Lewinsky turns 44.
Wow. 44.
As someone says, can you believe it? It seems like only yesterday she was crawling around the White House on her hands and knees, putting everything in her mouth. They grow up so fast, don't they?
Yes, they
do. The kids today.
Oh, I bet she can't even get down on the floor now.
Those knees. Too old.
Oh, I bet she gets
those
down.
Knees. Those knees. Go.
Oh, Jim Louise Ward.
Got to get up to get down, I'm told.
Yeah, that's what I'm told. Gonzeal in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello, Gonzeal.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Bonjour.
I far prefer your low Jack Palance voice to what I woke up to this morning, and that was the absolute horrible Sarah Palin saying the word solidarity. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is just awful. So I would like to ask the Stephanie Miller Show, the Stephanie Miller Newscast, to investigate something.
Yes.
The third rail in politics. The circumstances of the youngest Palin's birth.
Oh, yeah, we start
Nobody
a new birther movement.
Nobody wants to talk about it. Everybody acts like, but I am so tired of this birther nonsense that it's time that just invite people to do their own research on it. There's a new paper out by a Northern Kentucky University professor, and he says there was a spiral of silence surrounding the circumstances.
Interesting.
And
Interesting.
As a mother... As a listener and as somebody who's just fed up with this birther crud, you know, let's look into this a little bit, people. Let's find out a little. Let's inform ourselves a little bit about this.
All right.
I want to see the kid's birth certificate.
Yeah, maybe Donald Trump will get on that one as well. All right. Yeah.
Well, if she's running against him.
Someone was asking, we were looking at pictures, we were digging through my dusty old box last week.
Beg your pardon?
What? David, please.
David Bender and I. We were looking for old pictures.
I didn't think he was interested in
We're working on a book. We're looking at pictures of the campaign. And he said, how come you aren't in there? And first of all, because I was too coyote ugly, they would have lost by an even bigger landslide. But also, you didn't tote kids around like props back then. I was three. I was bit home being ugly where I should be.
There's that one picture of you.
Well. They had to have an official campaign picture.
Your eyes were crossed.
Oh, my eyes were crossed. All right, we'll put that up on the website at some point. You can see. I had no other options in life but to do this. All right. Jim, the boner has lost control of his caucus. I don't know if you've ever had that problem.
Hmm.
But
can you
out
even
of...
find your caucus? Excuse me.
Yes.
All right. We'll be back with all of that as Mondays with McClure continues 19 minutes after the hour. The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah.
Oh,
bring
my magic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the number. Jeff in Chicago. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you? I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
Big fan. I am one of those people who found you on the radio dial one day, though.
But was I lost?
Huh?
Oh,
well,
never mind.
I was lost. But I've listened to you every day since.
Oh, thank you.
Now, can I be the official unemployed stockbroker?
Yikes.
Yeah, I know. I was at the Chicago Board of Trade for 22 years, and then I got laid off. Now, as a lifelong Republican, because as a stockbroker, if you voted Democratic, they pulled your stockbroker's license. But mine's going to expire anyway. So I voted Democratic in the last elections, and I'm going to again in 2012. And by the way, I signed up for Carbonite. You're very persuasive.
Thank you. Carbonite.com. Please type Stephanie in the box. Thank you.
You've turned a lifelong Republican into a Democrat. I signed up for Carbonite. And
what's next? Are you going to become a lesbian?
I'm not giving up my heterosexuality. I love my wife. But you know what? I love your show, too.
Thank you, honey. Thank you. Aw. And I bet you he loves Larry Craig's wife as well.
So,
good for him.
I love my wife.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Board of Trade monitors who votes for
I know. I was like, that seems illegal. You know, a lot to be said for hectoring, Chris. Jeff in Ithaca also writes, okay, I got the carbonite thing you keep mentioning and put Stephanie in the box code already. I've been meaning to do it for a long time. Are you happy? Yes.
Computer says yes.
Yes, in fact, I am, and so will you be when you have your next virus or power outage. So there. A lot of people just do things because I pestered them long enough. All right. Edie McClurg. What? Oh, I see you writing commentating notes down. Are you okay?
I'm highlighting.
What? What would you like to highlight at this point?
Well, I think that the controller's falling asleep.
Oh, yeah. That's a little scary.
It is scary. And the thing is that in Japan and Germany, people who do those overnighter shifts are allowed to take little naps.
Oh, that's nice. And Chris dozes off a lot, but it's just a little fart joke radio show. So if it crashes, who really cares? We'll even notice. Yeah, that's frightening.
30% to 50% of night shift workers report falling asleep at least once on the job once a week.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's...
I'm glad I'm going to be doing a lot of flying coming up for the Sexy Liberal Tour. That's
well, all night shifts are an unnatural act, mm-hmm. is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, nobody should
or
be...
Or morning radio, same thing.
Nobody should be flying in the middle of the night anyway. Yeah. It's dark.
This message is brought to you by the FAA and Edie McClurg. What are you flying in the dark for?
It's dark.
Wait, it's dark. Night. You're supposed to be in bed.
Actually, it's not uncommon on long routes for pilots to fall asleep. Yeah. That's on autopilot for those long flights anyway.
Yeah, and I still picture the inflatable thing from airplane.
Auto.
And I'm
autopilot.
Auto? What are you doing? All right, the president said Saturday cutting the federal budget will require a sacrifice from every American, but those people who are most economically vulnerable should not shoulder most of the burden. Calling the House Republicans' deficit reduction plan wrong for America, he maintained the Republican approach would undermine key American values by slashing investments in education, infrastructure, clean energy, ending Medicare as the country now knows it, and giving tax breaks to the wealthiest individuals. Which is exactly what they're intending. They're like, yes, you're saying that like it's a bad thing. The president.
He's absolutely right that it's not going to happen without some spending cuts. I'm confident we're going to raise the debt limit. We always have. We will do it again.
The president said of the Republicans' plan, I don't think that's right. I don't think it's right to ask seniors to pay thousands more for health care or ask students to postpone college just so we don't have to ask those who prospered so much in this land of opportunity to give back a little bit more. This is the president caught on tape, Edie. He was caught on tape.
Good.
Talking tough.
So you want to repeal health care? Go at it. We'll have that debate. You're not going to be able to do that by nickel and diming me in the budget. You think we're stupid?
I have a feeling that was not accidental, that it was politics.
But, I love that he said about Paul Ryan.
This is the same guy who voted for two wars that were unpaid for, voted for the Bush tax cuts that were unpaid for.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And I know they make that sound like, oh, I can't believe
how dare
he
you?
Said. What?
Well,
said.
It's true.
Yeah, he said the truth. People always treat that like it's shocking. The budget must have been really mad then.
That's not very
bipartisan.
He
didn't even like what the president said to his face.
We have a president who is unwilling to lead. We have too many politicians worried about the next election and not worried about the next generation.
Yeah. He does sound eight, Jim. You're right.
So what are you going to do now?
Media said I'm a serious guy.
I'm serious.
Serious budget. There's a serious budget and I'm a serious guy. Shut up. Chris is being mean to me.
Wow.
I'm going to tell Mom.
He is whiny. Okay. All right. We will be back with his boner friend and how he's lost control of his caucus. What? It's the headline. All right. 29 minutes.
Rampaging on its own?
Yes. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's so sad and lonely. Look all that talking.
It is me, Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Tomorrow on the big show with David Schuster, Charlie Pierce, and Elaine Boozler. Wow. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. We're in the midst of Mondays with Edie McClurg. Keith in Milwaukee. Hi, Keith.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, okay. Anyhow, you know, the thing that always fires me up is when these politicians talk about not having to worry about the next election. And Paul Ryan has never had to worry about the next election because he's had a string of not-so-good or kind of so-so candidates until now. There's a guy in Kenosha,
yeah,
by the name of Rob Zurban, who is looking to run. A very substantial guy. He, like our senator, Ron Johnson, has a lot of money. But unlike Ron Johnson, who married his way on the third base, has made his money.
Thought he hit a triple. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Has made his money all on his own. And the guy is sharp, shrewd, and he's got, unfortunately, I'll send you the website.
Okay.
His website is called, and I don't have it quite right, but Hands Off Granny.
Okay, good.
So anyhow,
all
guys,
right, send it to me.
You know, when the fundraisers start, watch for this guy because that's where you want your money to go.
Yep. All right, honey. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, Edie McClurg, I can literally hear you highlighting furiously. There must be something so important to you, I could hear it squeaking.
Oh, it's just my little old eyes are getting so creeped out. They can't, you know,
all right,
all this tiny print.
All right, the boner yesterday.
There will be no debt limit increase unless it's accompanied by serious spending cuts and real budget reform.
No.
Yeah, serious cuts, like killing grandma. That's the only thing that's going to make it work.
This is the headline, Jim, that we've been saying all morning. Has Boehner lost control of his caucus? In a stunning blow to his leadership, the House Speaker watches 59 Republicans defect in Thursday's big budget vote.
Wow.
Yeah. 59 House Republicans voted no, meaning Boehner needed dozens of Democrats to vote yes, a stunning blow to his leadership, considering his earlier pledge to pass the deal without needing any Democrats. Did Boehner win the vote but lose his caucus?
Ooh. That seems a high price to pay.
Yes.
Wow.
Ask John Wayne Bobbitt. The budget deal is going to really hurt Boehner's credibility and his relationship to the Tea Party, said one analyst, giving this feeling of betrayal among his caucus. I don't see how he'll lead them to accept other
betrayed
deals.
By his own caucus.
Exactly. Well, you know, if you lead with your caucus, sometimes it betrays you. However, another analyst
said, getting into trouble sometimes. You know.
Interesting how this will play out. Another analyst is saying the Tea Party is the big loser. Next time Boehner says he can't do a deal without the support of the 218 Republicans, we know he's bluffing, said one analyst. The most puzzling thing is the Tea Party Republicans so gleefully sidelined themselves into irrelevancy. After all, now that Boehner has shown he can push through the bills without them, what possible relevance do they have in the next round of negotiations? So, that'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But he seems a little bluffy, a little man behind the pay no attention to the man behind the curtain at this point, to me.
Why don't judge the man behind the orange curtain?
He was in Iraq Saturday, by the way, Jim, because that should be the top of our list. When are we going to...
The top of our list!
Do something! One of these guys.
Was he wondering where his next drink was coming from? I don't think they have any over there, right?
Do they have taverns?
No, there's no tavern. No. Oh, my God. Why didn't everybody tell me? Oh. Well... Once we got rid of Saddam Hussein, all the Christians left, and that's where you bought your booze in Iraq.
Yeah, too bad, Boehner.
George Bush fixed everything.
Yeah. You'll need a motorman's friend in order to go traveling.
Yeah.
A motorman's friend?
It's a little thing strapped to your ankle that's booze, and there's a little...
Not to be confused with the stadium buddy.
Which is
the
that's
opposite.
Different. That's yes. That's don't
what
not...
You use
don't.
After you use the trucker's friend.
Friend,
if you're drunk
friend.
And you put the wrong tube in your mouth. Yeah, I understand. Oh. Yes, that can go badly. All right.
Talk about recycling.
Yeah. By the way, when the House took up...
some people haven't had their breakfast yet, you know.
And they won't.
As the House took up Paul Ryan's plan to end Medicare and Medicaid yesterday, Jeb Hensarling, a Republican... the Republican conference chair, he called the programs, along with Social Security, cruel Ponzi schemes that will bankrupt the nation. Medicare and Medicare. Medicaid. They're Oh, boy. How about this great big...
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
Republicans criticized Democratic Medicare cuts last fall. Now, it's the centerpiece of their budget. Because Paul Ryan says so, because he's serious and brilliant and bold and...
And a serious plan.
Courageous.
Sue.
In a post-election reversal, House Republicans supporting nearly $450 billion in Medicare cuts they criticized vigorously just last fall when Democrats and President Obama passed them as part of the health care law. The budget that Paul Ryan unveiled last week, his spokesman said the cuts are virtually the only part of Obamacare, their term, that the Wisconsin Republican preserved when he drafted his budget. The new law's massive Medicare cuts will fall squarely on the backs of seniors, millions of whom will be forced off their current Medicare coverage, the Republicans wrote in their Pledge to America. That was supposed to be a really bad thing until the budget monsters proposed it.
Wow.
And now it's bold and courageous and refreshing. In addition to the Pledge to America, Boehner, Eric Cantor, and individual Republican candidates all criticized the cuts. The National Republican, blah, 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 featured them in ads attacking Democrats in numerous campaign commercials. How about that? And now, they're all for them. By the way, Julie sends us this stuff. Chris Christie, he may be bold, refreshing, serious, blunt, enormous. He's got a bat. But apparently, he's not as popular as the Beltway boys think he is now that he's been screwing up New Jersey for a few years. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, often mentioned as a presidential contender, but fewer than 1 in 4 voters in his own home state would back him as a candidate,
wow.
A new poll.
Fewer than 1 in 4?
Wow. 2/3 of registered voters opposed Chris Christie for president in 2012. There, I said it. Boom. Boom. We're going to light the old people on fire. Boom, I said it, and I did not vaporize into the coupling. Okay.
It took a while for him to vaporize into the coupling.
Yeah, that's a lot of vaporization.
No, this is what we keep talking about, is the media glamorizing these. They just pick these. Oh, that's a star. He's a rising star.
Not so much.
Guess who the rising star is on Fox now? Florida Governor Rick Scott, who, in my opinion, should be in prison. Yes, Brian Kilmeade loves him. Fox and Friends had Florida Governor Rick Scott on. Kilmeade gushed over, quote, Scott's success in the private industry, which means you come out of it not just with a philosophy, but a track record. Oh, yes, there is a track record.
And kajillions of dollars.
Where's my Dragnet music? In 1997, law enforcement officers raided Columbia HCA facilities, leading to the exposure of the most massive Medicare fraud in the United States history at the time. They were found to be defrauding the taxpayers, consistently and knowingly overcharging the government for medical services. Although Scott was never charged personally, his company paid a settlement of more than $1.7 billion. The kind of settlement that says, I'm innocent.
Brian Kilmeade loves Rick Scott, but Brian Kilmeade also loves the smell of his own farts. So that's a low bar.
True. Yeah. After being forced to resign by the Columbia HCA board, Scott received a golden parachute of $10 million in severance and stock worth as much as $300 million.
Oh, isn't
that
nice? Mama.
Isn't that handy? Kilmeade.
His success in the business world. Right,
Kilmeade, went on to say, so the states that have to balance their budgets are making tough decisions, getting appreciation for it. Your approval ratings are up. Let me explain what up means on Fox News. Literally, up is down. Down is up. It really is a parallel universe. Right before winning the election, Scott's favorable rating was 46%. Since then, it's gone all the way up to 32%. At the beginning of the year, Scott had a 35% approval rating. Since then, his approval rating has shot up to 28%. So, Brian Kilmeade, not really so good at math, either. Not really very good.
Not today.
Everything's going in the right direction.
I'm sure they'll do features on how Governor Walker and Governor Kasich's ratings have shot up as well.
The chat room is wondering if Rick Scott and Lex Luthor were separated at birth. They kind of look the same.
True.
They got the same, you know, bald, evil look.
True.
Yeah.
Was there kryptonite involved in the whole scandal with the
Does that mean he'll be played by Gene Hackman?
Sally in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sally.
Hello, good morning.
Hello.
I think this whole ending Medicare for 55 and under is so, besides rude and mean, short-sighted.
Yeah.
Because between the 40 to 55-year-olds right now, they're the ones without jobs, living on unemployment, no savings, no 401k, nothing, and they're going to be 65 and not healthy and have no money. So why are they thinking it's okay to take it away from somebody younger?
Yeah. You know, there really is something known as Minnesota nice, because to call ending Medicare rude, that's about the nicest way you could put that. Thank you, Sally.
Yes, ma'am.
It's rude. Aww. In some circles, killing my grandmother is a little more than rude.
Yeah.
Yes. Brian in Illinois. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to make a quick comment about this ending Medicare. You know, what I find hypocritical about all this is the fact that they want to cut funding for the most expensive medical group. You know, when you cut this, name an insurance company out there, because my right-wing friends always want to say, oh, open market, open market. But if you look at the cost for insuring people of that age, it's astronomical.
Right.
what kind of free market system is that? Are you going to have these seniors wind up paying quadruple the amount in an open market system?
No, yeah. Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Exactly. It's, once again, their plan is hurry up and die.
Mm-hmm.
My mom can't navigate. She doesn't even have a computer. Now, seriously, you're going to expect people that age to navigate, it's unbelievable. Seriously. All right. I know you've already...
Dollar. Find the best care you can afford.
Yeah. By the way, Jim, I know that you've had plenty of him already, but let's have some more Tim Pawlenty.
Have you had enough of $4 a gallon gas?
Yeah!
Have you had enough of a federal government that is out of control?
Yeah!
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Sure.
I guess.
Out of control.
And the $4 plus, it's well above $4 in L.A. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, I'll say.
That's because of Wall Street speculators.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean they need less regulation. Quite the opposite.
Jim, am I going out on a limb to say that I think those people responding to Tim Pawlenty, I think it is the actual slogan has become Durr.
I think they didn't pay them enough.
I think they are led by Kathy Durr.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties, stop being noodleback.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure in the crowd when he said stuff, I heard Durr.
Are you tired of the ever-growing big government?
Durr!
Yeah.
Yes, all right. That's his Z.
I wear cotton myself.
46 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and more as we continue Mondays with McClurg on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, this is so amazing. It's all anybody in my class is talking about.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie. Stephanie.
Don't change your
number. Hey. No, it's 1-800-STEP-12. Don't dial that. All right.
I think 51. That number's taken out of.
Yeah. 51. Whoever had that number, oh boy. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Kim in St. Paul, you're on with Edie McClurg. Hi, Kim.
Hi. I have a couple of teepaw fun facts.
Oh, Pawlenty. You probably had Pawlenty of him a long time ago. Go ahead, Kim. Kim? Uh-oh.
No.
Her call dropped. She had some Pawlenty fun facts. She'll call back.
Sometimes the internet can be a little...
Or
the phone.
Phone system. Who knows what it is. All right. Mark writes, pregnancy hint for mama? Oh, because I don't know if you know this, Edie, but you know the power of Hal Sparks.
Oh, yeah.
He bought my girlhood back.
Oh.
It started again last hump day. I don't know what happened.
You know, he touted
he has superpowers, but I didn't even know about that one.
The Nissan, and I ordered one that day.
See? Hal Sparks is irresistible to women. Mark writes, Mama, I hear you're considering having John Fugelsang's Love Child or Hal's. There's no knows what's happening after the late show in Madison this Saturday. Right. Anything could happen. Here's a great tip for you, Mama. Chain-smoking Pall Malls helps keep birth weight down and reduces those stretch marks. Oh, thank you, Mark.
Great. Not a cop and a carload.
Thanks for that, Mark.
4 out of 5 doctors recommend you smoke Pall Malls while you're pregnant.
The fact that I thought that seemed like a good idea is probably further evidence why it's a good thing I'm not having
this
children.
This doctor had an unfortunate accident.
All right. Hey, Edie McClurg, did you read the L.A. Times this weekend? You know what? I think some things in life, because you and I, we have persnickety old person's fits every now and again about the kids today and the interwebs.
Oh, the cranky pants get
in
a twist.
And how fast we move in this culture.
Yes, it does.
Did you see what we have in L.A.? We have a drive-through wake now. There's a... There's a drive-through funeral parlor where you can...
Yeah. It's,
some things maybe shouldn't.
It's a big glass window.
I don't know if you get fries with that, but they have a dead person in a window. A drive-thru in Compton with a glass-encased chamber for the coffin offers convenience to mourners.
Yeah, convenient
it provides
mourning.
A speedy way for well-known community members to be viewed en masse.
If you didn't really like the person that much, you have a speedy mourning.
Just slow down to like 5. Yeah. Mm. All right.
So did they just not want them coming into the funeral home?
I don't know. I think things have gotten entirely
live people.
You want formaldehyde with that?
I think we've gotten entirely too much convenience in the society, in my opinion.
Too much convenience.
Should be time to mark the moment.
Maybe there should be an app for that, so you can mourn over the phone.
Exactly. So you don't even have to drive by.
No, you can do it in your nightie.
Right. Not only do you not have to get out of your car, Jim, you don't have to even get off your couch.
Right. Hey, sorry you're dead.
Sorry. Is there a Sorry You're Dead app?
Now, here's another inappropriate thing on the interwebs.
Mm-hmm.
In Virginia Beach, Republican Party Chair David Bartholomew forwarded an extremely racist joke comparing African-Americans.
We already talked about this.
What's
more entertaining is her, because she went for the typical, I have lots of black friends, that one. And then also, it never even occurred to me that the president, he's black. Is that why you thought I sent the chimp? That's crazy.
Virginia Beach.
Oh, there's another one?
Yeah.
Yes, Republican Party chair.
This one was the one in Orange County, California.
This is different.
And he forwarded it from the same account he uses for official party business.
Oh, wow.
So he's
clever.
He's gone.
Yeah, Republicans and the internet, not so much.
Not so good.
All right, celebrity stack. Edie McClurg, Charlie Sheen has made a habit lately of saying he's in discussions to come back to Two and a Half Men.
With himself. He's in discussions with himself.
I've discussed a lot of big projects with myself.
Yes.
Which sadly have never come to fruition, but I've had
high-level
discussions.
Bed.
Yes.
You know, coming out of a bad dream. Poor Charlie.
Would I like my own TV show? Yes, I would. All right, let's have a glass of wine. Let's toast to it. Okay. I have a whole discussion with myself.
Oh.
Warner Brothers fired a letter to Charlie's lawyer today, making it abundantly clear he will never return to the show when there are not discussions of any kind.
No discussions.
Superficial writing.
Winning.
Yeah, this can't be right because Charlie's show is specifically titled Violent Torpedoes of Truth. If you can't trust a man that says he has the blood of a jungle cat, then we might as well pack this whole society thing in and start from scratch.
Oh, God.
It's true.
Wow.
Oh, you know who might be able to star in the remake with him, though? Nicolas Cage. Who is?
What happened with Nicolas?
Do not dare the police to arrest you. What is wrong with you?
Hollywood's a rocky place for my seat could find no purchase. My career could find no purchase.
Yeah. Guys, it's like if you get caught cheating and you dare your wife to kick you in the... She will do it! Don't! Nicolas Cage, delisted writing, Nicolas Cage, the spastic duffel bag of crazy... who can furrow his brow like no other, was put in handcuffs in New Orleans. He allegedly shoved his wife and then freaked out at the cops when they told him to take his drunk ass home. Source tells DMZ a cab driver called 911. He watched an extremely wasted Nicolas Cage during a fight on the street with his wife. The cops arrived and were interested in arresting him. They told him to go home. Nick screamed at him, "Why don't you just arrest me?" Did listen to writing, "Dear dumbass, when you dare a cop to arrest you, they're going to arrest you."
Yes.
He delisted writing, "Nicholas has already had to sell his collection of pharaoh skulls to pay the IRS, and now he goes and double dares the cops to arrest him."
Oh.
And they did. Oh, dear.
And New Orleans is one of the most liberal, easygoing places, and you just don't mess with the cops. That's it.
Edie, you probably learned that the hard way. You trust me.
I've been down Bourbon Street at 3 in the morning. I admit it. During Jazz Fest, yes.
Uh-oh.
If I had to nickel for every time I read a tabloid story about Edie McClure getting in a scuffle outside a nightclub at 3 a.m.
And a pink feather boa, by the way.
TMZ is always outside of her house, waiting for the next shenanigan.
Yeah, when I'm putting out the garbage. And he was so nice when I met him.
Miley Cyrus will launch her new Gypsy Heart tour on April 27, except not in America, because apparently we don't love her enough.
Oh.
She said, right now America's gotten to a place where I don't know if they want me to tour or not. Right now I just want to go to the places where I'm getting the most love, and Australia and South America have done that for me.
Hmm.
Well,
alrighty,
fortunately
then.
For me, America does want Stephanie Miller's sexy liberal comedy show to tour.
Oh.
They've specifically told us, and so we're coming to all the places Miley Cyrus would have gone, so there.
Miley, I was on that show with her.
Right.
Which one? Oh, that's right.
Hannah Montana show.
Oh, you've been on everything.
Michael Boatman and I on the same show.
Oh, wow.
And we were both pretty bad.
It's been another delightful Mondays with Edie McClure. Don't forget tomorrow, David Schuster, Charlie Pierce, and Elaine Boozler join us. That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Bye-bye.